Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a Monday edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's edition. If you have something you'd like to discuss for with us, we'd like your call right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something, just something you'd like to discuss, something bothering you in life, well, this is a good opportunity to speak directly with us right now at Basic Gospel. That number again, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. So call now, friends, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're getting down to crunch time as far as our fiscal year is concerned here at Basic Gospel, and we are trusting that God moves in the hearts of many, 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 many people around this country and even around the world that will step up and support us in the next couple of days so that we can close the books on fiscal year 2021 and start 2022 with a fresh, clean, strong start. Yeah. So if you're able and willing to help us at this particular time, we would greatly appreciate it. And all the different ways that you can give are listed for you at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button. If you would like to give online, there's an easy form to fill out right there, and you can make that contribution very quickly. If you would like to mail a check, and we would certainly ask that you mark your check or date your check in June of 2021, and you can send it to the address that we have listed at basicgospel.net. So come be a part of what God is doing through this wonderful outreach of sharing the good news of God's love and grace. That's what people need in the world. And it's that message that brings stability to our lives. And I was just reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, and that's a theme that Peter talks about in kind of the final remarks of this letter. He says that there are a number of people who are ignorant and are unstable, who twist to their own destruction the words of Paul, as they do other scriptures. So he describes these folks as ignorant and unstable. And then he goes on to say, gives us some encouragement. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So our stability in life comes from our knowledge of Christ Jesus, our knowledge of God that has been revealed to us in Christ. So we are unstable when we're unsure of God's love. We're unstable when we're unsure of God's forgiveness. We are unstable when we are unsure of our standing before God, our righteousness before God. If we are equivocating on any of those issues, then it's going to show up in our day-to-day lives, and our day-to-day lives are going to be described as unstable. And so he says, beware of the error of lawless people. James put it this way, a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. Well, who is the double-minded man? Well, he's a man that either has one foot in the world and one foot in the gospel, and he's not sure which way he really wants to go, so he's going to be unstable. Yeah. He's not going to really grasp the fullness of God's love for him. He's never going to come to that point where he's fully convinced that absolutely nothing can separate him from the love of God. So he's going to be unstable, unstable as far as his understanding of God's view of him or of his place in the world or of his identity. So you either have one foot in the world, one foot in Christ, or one foot in law and one foot in grace. Yeah. And talk about an unstable person. That is the height, the epitome of an unstable person. And if we let our minds be taken away by either religious talk or the things of this world, we're going to lose our stability, not our position in Christ, not our salvation, not our standing before God, but in our own minds, we're going to become unstable. So how do we fix that? How do we regain our stability, so to speak? Well, it's in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want stability in life, if you want a solid foundation to stand upon, and that's what gives us stability, folks, is that solid rock foundation, mm-hmm. not a foundation made of sand. That's going to shift and no stability there. You need a foundation made of rock. Jesus Christ is that rock. You grow in the grace that he's given to you. You grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find that you're going to live a stable life day in and day out.
Absolutely. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob. You touched on it, and I think it's important to understand that there are many admonitions and warnings to believers through the Scripture, but that does not in any way indicate a loss of salvation.
Correct.
It's just the way you're going to be able to live and approach the Christian life as you're going through life. So I think that's an important part. Well, Bob, I know you're excited, so am I, about the United Conference coming in mid-October. What do you say to encourage our listener friends to be a part of that?
Well, we're just talking about stability, and if you want stability in life, I think this conference is going to be a great way for you to find out how to live with stability each and every day, how to be stable in your knowledge of Christ, how to be stable, understanding that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. So that's so vitally important. And oftentimes, you know, we go to church services, we may go to a Bible study weekly or something like that, and we'll get little nuggets of truth. And oftentimes, we're not sure how all those nuggets of truth fit together. We don't know the big picture. And that can lead to confusion. Well, at a conference like this, a conference like United, you're going to get the big picture. And you'll be able to fit all of those pieces together and see how this grace of God really is just big and broad and wide and high and deep and all of those things that will help you in your day-to-day life. So come be a part of this conference. You will not go away disappointed. I guarantee you that. I think you will also have a deeper resolve to share this good news with others.
You know, we call it United because it is two ministries that are uniting to bring the truth of God's grace and the Lord Jesus Christ, Bob Christopher, Basic Gospel, and, of course, Andrew Farley of the Grace Message. And, of course, we want you to be there, so you can be sure it'll be filled with the grace of God. Information available and registration is now open for United October 15th through the 17th in our ministry hometown, Louisville, Texas. Just visit basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial right now. If you have a question you'd like to pose to us, a particular issue that you're dealing with, well, that's why we're here every day, to serve you, our listeners. And so we want to be able to do that. So we can't do it unless you call. That number, 844-322-2742. Please call now. The lines are wide open for you. And in the meantime, Bob, this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank you for your ministry. You guys are awesome. And I do have a question about Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. I'm trying to reconcile that with Jesus plus nothing. This looks, 14 and 15 looks an awful lot like works. If you could let me know. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we certainly will. And here's what Matthew 6 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So it looks like this is a conditional statement, an if-then statement. And anytime you see an if-then statement in the Bible, you're going to have to realize that this is old covenant language. So back in the Old Testament, after the Exodus, after God had set the people free from Egyptian enslavement, he led them to Mount Sinai, and there at Mount Sinai, he gave the law. And the language of the law was this: if you obey my statutes and my commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So it had that if-then language. Well, Jesus is amplifying that if-then language in these very words. So they had laws written on stones, and they were to live up to those righteous requirements, to those standards. And they thought that that probably only meant externally. But God has always been interested in the heart, and this idea of forgiveness flows from the heart. It's not just words. It's not just things that we do externally. It's something that we first incorporate internally, that we express outwardly to others. And what he's saying, if you can't forgive from the heart, then you're toast as far as that old covenant is concerned. You haven't lived up to your end of the bargain. So don't count on God forgiving you. So this is old covenant language. Well, you move forward into the New Testament, and you come to the book of Ephesians as one example, and the book of Colossians as another example, and you're going to read words like this, that we are to forgive others as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven us. Mm-hmm. Well, what's changed? Because obviously these are two opposing statements. The meaning of them are completely different. Well, here's what's changed: the cross of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus ushered in a new covenant. So we live in a new covenant, a covenant in which our sins have been forgiven, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, and it's in a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. So this forgiveness was given to us in Christ Jesus. It's not something that we could earn through our own works. So according to Matthew 6:14-15, we would be doomed in trying to live up to that imperative, trying to forgive others from the heart through human effort, trying to forgive others from the heart, trying to muster that up on our own or through obedience to the law. We're going to fall flat on our faces, and since we fail in that, then we can't expect God to forgive our sins. Old covenant, if then language, very, 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 very clear. Jesus died after he made this statement, after he made this teaching. He died on a cross. He brought to end that old covenant, fulfilled it in every way, shape, and form. And he put an end to it. Why? So that he could usher in a brand new covenant. And in that new covenant, we have forgiveness of sins. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As John wrote in his first letter, I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And as a result of that, then we have hearts that want to forgive. We have been given a new heart. We have hearts that want to forgive, and now we can forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us.
And that's good news.
Yes, indeed.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you live, as a matter of fact, and you can do that. You can make that happen by calling right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, Facebook viewer Joe had a question for you. It says, Hebrews 9:14 was the verse that helped open my eyes to the new covenant. Could you please comment your heartfelt thoughts on this particular verse, Hebrews 9:14?
Well, it's a powerful verse, and here's what it says. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, this whole book of Hebrews is a letter of contrast. The writer of Hebrews contrasting everything in the Old Covenant, everything in the Old Testament, everything that the people of Israel deemed important and necessary as far as their lives were concerned, as far as their religious lives were concerned. The writer of Hebrews is comparing that to Jesus, to the sacrifice that he made, and the covenant that he ushered in. And what the writer concludes time and time and time again is that everything about Jesus, everything about this new covenant, everything about the sacrifice that he offered once and for all is superior to everything in the old. And so he wants to move people away from old covenant thinking to new covenant thinking, to the sacrificial system of the old, to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to from the law to Jesus himself. That's the intent of the writer of Hebrews. And here he gives a perfect example of that. He talks about the old covenant sacrifices and those sprinkled for the purification of the flesh. So it cleansed us on the outside. That's the old covenant. But here, this new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, which he offered without blemish, purifies us on the inside so that we will be freed from dead works to serve the living God. So what are the dead works? They are the dead works of religion. Mm-hmm. It is doing something to try to appease God. It's doing something to try to earn his love and acceptance. It's trying to do something to clothe yourself in a way that God looks down and says, hey, you're right in my sight. Yeah. Those are dead works because they come from a dead spirit. They come from the flesh. So we have to be purified. We have to be cleansed on the inside. And that's exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ did. He cleansed us on the inside. He gave us a new heart, a heart that wants to serve the living God. So Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. So I would certainly cross-reference this particular verse with Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. And there in Romans 7, 1 through 6, Paul is talking about the law, and he's talking about grace as well. And he says, do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is still alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, so this is just an example to prove a point. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. So we have been cleansed. We have been cleansed from trying to serve and reach God through obedience to the law, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So here Paul is saying that anything that we did through the motivation and the compulsion of the flesh produced dead works. We bore fruit for death. So even religious works, even things that on the surface seem to be wise and good and holy, they flowed through the flesh, they were produced by the flesh, and so the end result was nothing but dead works.
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Absolutely. Gonna burn up. And so he goes on to say, but now we've been released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that we have had our consciences purified from dead works, those are the works of the law, to serve the living God by the new way of the Spirit. Talk about a powerful transformation.
Yes, indeed.
This goes straight to the heart, gives us a new heart, a heart that wants to trust the Lord, and in trusting the Lord is going to bear fruit for God.
Absolutely. Joe, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. We'd love to hear from you again if you have further questions. Well, Bob, an interesting question from Jay in Sycamore, Illinois. He says, how do you stay motivated to do what you do each day? Do you get discouraged that more people are not receptive to the gospel?
Well, Jay, great question. And yes, we always can get discouraged. And at times we do get discouraged when more and more people aren't responding to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's like, how could you not? How could you not respond to the love of God, to the forgiveness of God, to the righteousness of God, to the life of God? How could you not respond to that? And you're just reminded that this is a sin-sick world.
Yeah.
It is a world in rebellion toward God. It's a world that wants to do its own thing. It's a world that's filled with pride. As John said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. That's the makeup and nature of the world, and that's what people are living out of, that those worldly patterns. As Paul said in Ephesians 2, they live to gratify the flesh. They follow after the ways of this world. So, yes, it can be discouraging that people don't want this new way of life, that people don't want Jesus. It can be very, very discouraging. But that responsibility to try to convert people isn't resting on my shoulders.
No,
it isn't resting on anybody's shoulders. So we can just give out the message and leave the results in God's hands. And we know that God's word will never come back void. We know that God is always using what is being said, not only in this ministry, but all kinds of ministries around the world, that God is always using the truth about his son to transform people. So that's our motivation. That is our encouragement, the very promise of God that is this: whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Do we know who's going to call upon the name of the Lord? Absolutely not. God does. And we can simply proclaim having that confidence that God is going to take the good news concerning his son, concerning Jesus, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. He's going to take that message and the power contained therein and save people, cross them over from death to life, and give them a place in the body.
Well done, my friend.
Yeah. One last word before we go off the air. A great new video is up on our YouTube channel.
Okay.
About how we are in fellowship with God. It's a very confusing topic out there, and I think this will give you some clarity. Check it out on our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. And between now and our next broadcast, I hope you'll start making plans to join us for the exciting Bible conference we call United, with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, the two ministries coming together, connected. And you can get all the information along with registration information when you visit basicgospel.net/united. That's coming up October 15th through the 17th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. And we would love for you to be here, because this is the first opportunity that our listeners have had to get together, everybody together at one time in one place. And we're just really looking forward to that. So we encourage you to get registered and be a part of that. If you have Bible questions or life issues to deal with, well, let us help you work through that question or that particular issue that you're faced with. And all you need to do is call 844-322-2742, and you'll hear your question or your issue discussed on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Also, we want to invite you to visit basicgospel.net. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there you'll be able to subscribe to our daily devotional. We'd love for you to subscribe to it. It's a wonderful way to get your day started every day. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel, when Larry Alex Thompson will be our guest. He's always interesting, and I hope you'll be here. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.